Welcome back to FFA Today here on Rural Radio. For almost 40 years, Bill Stagg has shared the story of agricultural education and FFA throughout the country. Recently, the longtime director of strategic communications for the FFA announced his retirement, but not before sitting down with us here at FFA Today to reflect on his time with the organization and, of course, what comes next. Mr. Stagg, thank you for joining us today.
Terrific. I'm glad to be with you, and there's no place I'd rather be than spending time with Rural Radio.
Now, you began your career with the National FFA organization in November of 1978, but unlike a lot of those who work for FFA, you had never actually been a member. Is that correct?
Actually, my introduction to the FFA was after I graduated from college from Virginia Tech with a degree in communications. I went back home to Northern Virginia, and the FFA Center was about a mile from my house, and I was looking for a part-time job in photography. They were looking for a part-time photographer darkroom technician, and I was able to secure a position there. My dream was to be a National Geographic photographer. I wanted to travel the world, meet new people, learn new things, and then tell other people about it. And I did not know when I walked into FFA that I would be able to do exactly like that through FFA and agricultural education. And over the next 6 or 7 years, I traveled all over the country and internationally. I took pictures and did interviews with everybody that was concerned with FFA and with agriculture and got to learn a lot. And it's just been a very rewarding career to help FFA tell its story.
And speaking of telling that story, you originally started with FFA as an audiovisual specialist. A lot of members and a lot of our listeners, of course, may have an interest in journalism or broadcast or audiovisual work. How can they use those skills to tell the story of agriculture and of FFA?
Well, first, being enthusiastic and being interested in something is a great help. But when I came to the FFA with very little background in agriculture or the FFA, I knew that my skill was telling stories, and I knew I was interested in people, and I wanted to have them explain things to me. And what I found is that when I went out into the world, if I told people that I didn't know what they do, but I could tell their story to other people if they could explain it to me, they were more than happy to share everything they knew. If I ever tried to fake it and to pretend that I knew what I was talking about, that's where you get into trouble. And so just being upfront, being inquisitive, asking questions brings people out, and they will share more than you can imagine, especially when the story is such a good one. I wasn't doing hard news, investigative journalism, asking questions of people who had things to hide. I was talking to people who were thrilled to share what they knew and what they had and to give of their gifts to other people. I think one of the advantages when I look back is that I didn't know anything about FFA or knew very little about agriculture, and therefore, it was easier to tell the story without being blinded by the inside jargon, by the inside mystique. And I understood how outside audiences would look at it and what they needed to know to learn about it. FFA members who are so passionate and so dedicated to what they do sometimes become a little blinded or limited and don't understand what the outside world that's not familiar with their inside world, what they really understand and what it takes to tell them. So when I would hire people over the years to work in agriculture, I'd hire people who had been through FFA, and it was great because they had inside knowledge, but I also valued people that came from the outside and could look clearly and appreciate what an outside audience, general public, unfamiliar with FFA, would need to know to really value the program.
Well, Bill, I'm glad you mentioned that outside perspective, because it may give you an interesting vantage point for my next question. At the time you came to the FFA, we were only 2 years removed from the first female national officer, still 4 years away from the first national president. Now, of course, the last officer team had 5 out of 6 female officers. And of course, women represent more than 45% of FFA members and roughly half of all state leadership positions. So how has that increased female presence within the FFA shaped and evolved the organization into what it is today?
I think that the entrance of females into FFA in 1969, when the delegates elected to have them come into the national organization, I think it accompanied a broadening sense of what agriculture careers involved. When FFA was founded in 1928, it was for essentially farm boys or young men who intended to farm because they lived on farms and would go back to them. But over the many years, as the science, as the business, as the technology began to develop, people understood that there was a very broad range of careers related to agriculture. And I think that many of those fields attracted women. Surprisingly, though, to some people, women are particularly adept at farming or production agriculture, just as men are. But I think a diverse student audience came into the world of FFA, not just women, but also men. And by the time women achieved 45% of the makeup of the FFA, you had a real mix of students coming from rural areas, suburban and urban schools, and their interests span 235 different careers in agriculture. And I think that diversity of agriculture is what has attracted a diversity of students. And it's no surprise that both men and women are interested in those careers at the same time. The interesting thing that we noticed about 15 years ago is that while women may be 36 and then 40 and then 42% of the membership, they started constituting a larger percentage of the leadership positions in the organization. And they were really keen on developing their leadership skills and expressing it at chapter level and at state officer level and, as you mentioned, as national officers. And so they're extremely involved. And it's a very good mix, and it's benefited both males and females in agriculture. And the industry's benefited as a result because it has access to more talent.
Now, Bill, one of the roles that you've filled throughout the years is that of maintaining relationships with the FFA sponsors. And, of course, one huge supporter over the years has been RFD-TV and Rural Radio president and founder Patrick Gotch. You guys have a relationship that goes way back. Tell us about that.
I love it when I get a chance to talk about what RFD-TV and FFA have done together. Some almost 30 years ago, I got a phone call working at FFA from Patrick Gotch, who was just starting a new agricultural broadcast network called RFD-TV. And he wanted to know if we would be interested in broadcasting the national FFA convention. And at that time, we had no ability to do that. And the only people that really knew about our convention were those who attended, who came to Kansas City at that time and visited the convention. We said, sure, let's talk about it. And shortly, we put together the first broadcast of the FFA convention. And that was the first opportunity that we had to show people at home, parents, school administrators, sponsors, and members of the industry, to show them what was happening at the National FFA Convention. And that really helps them understand what FFA does. Well, over the years, we have broadcast a number of FFA conventions, and the FFA membership at the time, I think we broadcast the first convention, might have been at 380,000 thereabouts, and today it's almost 650,000. We have grown and expanded incredibly, and I am the first to salute RFD-TV and cite that as one of the primary reasons that we've been able to grow and that we are as strong as we are because they've invested in us, and not just invested monetarily, but they've given us a picture window to show the nation what is possible, to inspire and to help people understand what agriculture can be, what kind of careers are available, what rural America can become when it's invested in a program like this. And RFD-TV's support and now Rural Radio's support is directly the function of the commitment and the love that Patrick Gotch has for FFA members and local teachers. He gets it, he understands it, and he's eager to help us tell that story that we were talking about, that story of FFA. So I can't say enough about that relationship. I'm just thrilled to have been a part of it, and we thank RFD-TV from the bottom of our hearts.
Over the course of almost four decades with FFA, you've seen a lot of things come and go. What's one thing that you've seen change the most over that time? And also, what's something that has maybe remained the same throughout those years?
Oh, the thing that has changed the most has been the diversity of our program and the diversity of our membership. When I first started with FFA, many of our award and recognition programs were focused on careers and activities in production agriculture. And I started in 1978, and already at that time, agribusiness was becoming a very big topic and was being taught in schools. During the 80s and 90s, agri-science crept in, and biotechnology and the impact of imports and exchange and understanding foreign markets. It really diversified the program and opened up a world of opportunities. So I would say that FFA activities have expanded and blossomed as the world of agriculture has expanded, and we've stepped up to keep pace, largely thanks to sponsors like RFD-TV and others. So that's the number one change. That's also put a lot of pressure on a local teacher, because now a teacher doesn't just need to know a little bit about farming, but the teacher also needs to understand genetics or mechanics or horticulture. And there are a range of activities that students are interested in. And so that's challenged local teachers, but our colleges and universities are putting out an incredible set of agriculture teachers who are prepared for that challenge. That's been the biggest change, I think, that I've seen. The thing that has remained the same, I was reminded of that at the recent FFA convention. I was standing in a long line waiting for food service, and I was standing behind a young man from a chapter in Tennessee, and he was just a chapter member. He wasn't competing or doing anything. He was just there as a part of his chapter. And in talking to him, I got the sense of the kind of experience he was having in his local program and what it meant for him to walk into a classroom that welcomed him, that understood what his interests were. And in this case, he loved to weld. He loved to build things. He just loved to make things happen. And in FFA, he found a home where he could do these things, be encouraged by a teacher, somebody who would help him understand what sort of educational opportunities were there. And here was a young person that was just growing and just feeling more confident. And that's really what impresses me most. At the national convention, we see so many national officers and so many award winners who are just excellent, and they're just the cream of the crop. But the young FFA member that's just starting to recite the creed, compete in something, receive some positive feedback, and starting to take those first couple of steps to growth, I think that's the thing that has remained constant the whole time I've been in the program. It is unlike anything else that's available in American education. And what I tell people today is that if you really want to deliver value to young people in public schools, an agriculture program isn't just for kids that want to do something in agriculture. It will contribute to the personal, academic, and career development of any young person, unlike anything else they have available. And I'm so pleased that that is still the successful model after almost 90 years.
Well, right now is a big time of change for both the country at large as well as the FFA. A new presidential administration has taken office, and with that, a new Secretary of Agriculture. You've got a still relatively new CEO at the National FFA, having just stepped into that role back in August. There's a lot of things going on. So what do you believe, or perhaps hope, the impact of all of that will be on both the agriculture industry as a whole as well as the National FFA?
Well, you put your finger on the big unknown, and that's the incoming administration. And that's bound to have some impact on the priorities and how the Department of Education focuses its resources. But I think what happens in local schools is pretty well set and won't be immediately affected by that. So we can still look forward to a thriving organization. You referenced our new CEO, Mark Peschel, who has been such a breath of fresh air at FFA. And we keep attracting top talent. But Mark's got a great, great vision. He understands the bedrock values of FFA, but he's got a vision on what we need to do to continue growing and prospering. You can't sit on your hands. You can't stand still. And you need to make the changes to remain relevant to the industry of agriculture and to remain relevant to what young people want and to provide value to local school systems, because they're the ones that allow FFA chapters to exist. I think Mr. Peschel has really got his handle on that, and he's working with our managers and our staff here, and I think we'll see FFA begin to extend its outreach and attract more students to the program, hopefully build some new programs here as well. This is a very talented individual who's got great vision, great passion for FFA, and I'm confident about the future of where we go from here.
Well, Bill, we want to thank you so much, not just for joining us, though, on the program, but for all of that hard work and certainly the dedication that you've put into the FFA over the years.
My pleasure. I am so pleased to have worked with something that makes such a difference in the lives of young people, and that means helping build young leaders, that means growing communities, and that means strengthening agriculture. It's been a privilege. The second thing is that I can't say again enough how thankful we are for RFD-TV, for Rural Radio, for Patrick Gotch. If you hadn't come into our lives, I'm not sure that we would be where we are and that we'd be serving the number of young people we are. So I'm thankful, I'm excited, and I'm feeling very satisfied and looking forward to new people taking over, addressing the challenges of tomorrow, and keeping this marvelous program going.
Well, we certainly wish him all the best in his future work, and he told us after that conversation that this probably isn't the last that we'll hear from him. And it certainly isn't, because you can hear more of our discussion in a longer, expanded interview exclusively at ruralradio147.com. Hear more from Bill, browse our full program schedule, connect with us on social media, and more, all at ruralradio147.com.